Johnson.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Pick, see how you describe it. Don't try to be stars in disguise. Is anybody rapping with a vagina? Go be with the wife and kids. Satan try to hide.
So that we are back. It's been, we found each other, Eric. We are reunited.
Yeah, it's been a long, I found that train whistle. It's in New York. Hey, everybody, live from New York and tape in Los Angeles. It's your favorite two guys, the Sportsaholics.
Coming to you from the overcast June gloom, pre-June gloom, South Bay, Los Angeles. We are back. And
Hell's Kitchen in New York, and it is also, we have the same weather. It's rainy and cold here in early mid-May. We get the Ides of May, I guess. She's,
why is it Hell's Kitchen? I don't know. I've never been to New York. I don't know New York. I know that to go to a Mets game, you got to go way the hell uptown onto the east. There's, apparently it's hard to get to. But what is Hell's Kitchen? Is it
Mets is on the island, man. That's like Queens. That's Queens. This is a Manhattan. Manhattan.
That's why that's...
You're sort of like, so Hell's Kitchen is a West Side Story, the Jets and the Sharks. It's the Westies Irish mob of the 70s, State of Grace, movies like that. It's supposed to get it's Hell's Kitchen. It's where the devil cooks up his best soul food, I guess. You know, it's known as a
the restaurant
Irish.
I mean, or
is... it does now, but it was also sort of an undesirable little, it was more the a lot of the rail yards.
Okay.
A lot of the rail yards, it was a sort of slummy tenement for years. It now is, it's very much gentrified. It is one of the, we're right by Times Square, just off Broadway. A lot of the Broadway shows, that's where you know me and Broadway. She's, you know,
so,
evidently I live in a building. I'll tell you this, she's supposedly, Barbara Streisand lived in my building when she first was starting on Broadway. So there you go, me and Babs. You know,
Drew Barrymore used to live in my building when I was on Harper Street, probably when she was 16 and smoking crack and doing coke and everything. So
right,
well, but so essentially Hell's Kitchen being like, hey, if you're in this area, you're up to no, you're brewing of trouble. The devil's around.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, yeah, the devil's around you. Sure.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. But this is weird, man. Like, I got to be honest. Like, it's so, we've been apart so long as on this format.
Yeah, we have not done a Sportsaholic. So in what, over a year, she's?
I had to check. It was April 4th of last year was the last episode published. So it's,
and I don't think I'm even on that episode.
You are not. So, yeah.
I was still living in Los Angeles at the time. By the way, guys, it's now official. You know, some of you guys know that I worked on Saturday Night Live. I'm no longer employed by Saturday Night Live, but I'd like to thank Adam Sandler, because evidently now that not working on Saturday Night Live is very cool, and hopefully I will also make $4 billion in box office. So there's that, all right? So I'm now in Hell's Kitchen, not on Saturday Night Live, but still live from New York. Can't stop that.
Great song. great episode too. If you didn't catch it, go back and watch it. There's a lot of good. They had a sketch where they took every single one of Adam Sandler's impressions, like the gabbity gabbity goo, and then like the water boy, and like just every canteen boy. And so he goes to a family reunion, and you're meeting all these people in his family, and you're like, oh, I get it. They're all doing impressions of him because he's famous. And then it flips, and they're all actually like that, and he actually had just stolen all their characters. And I was like, what a brilliant sketch. I'm like, what a brilliant, but yeah, it's a great episode. Rest in peace, Chris Farley, too. Just a very, like,
something bad happened to Chris Farley?
Heartstrings. I mean, was that 97 that went down?
It's a long time ago. It sure is.
I mean,
something happened to Farley on Game of Thrones this week? I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely remember the Rolling Stone reading that in the alternative high school I was attending.
I know. I saw him like the week before he died down at the Sidewalk Cafe in Venice, at Venice Beach. And,
he was a small man. I mean, a large man, but like, wasn't
I know what you're saying. Yeah. He wasn't actually that tall.
Yeah. He was 5'8" or something like that. Correct.
Yeah. He's a larger than life short person. It's much how people around the Comedy Store you have the impression that Don Barris is much taller than he actually is.
Yeah. No, I guess he was. Yeah, he is probably only about, what, 5'10", 5'11", something like that.
No, nah, he's shorter than that. Anyway, guys, because now we're talking about heights of people who may not. We're talking radio heights, which is
nobody knows
bad,
who Don Barris is. Windy City
don't,
Heat.
No, don't do not say that. Windy well, City just, Heat people watch it. Don't let's I leave it go. Let it go. Cheezer, okay. The reason
I didn't
we're
mean
back,
to say
what'd
that,
you think about?
I didn't mean to say that, Don.
Just cut this out in editing. Cheezer, the game last night, Kawhi Leonard, did you see it? That's why we're talking. Last shot, last second. What'd you think?
I think that's one of the most dramatic, if not the it might be the most dramatic. Now, we're splitting hairs here, last second shot talk-wise, but that is the most dramatic last second shot you'll ever see, only because it hits the rim four times. So you get four different chances for that ball to go in one shot. So you have yeah, four times you're like, and then the initial.
I feel it was the kind of shot that was so in a movie, but the movie would be like Air Bud when Air Bud was playing basketball. It's like it was so it's like a movie or TV. It's like bounce, 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 bounce in. It was a game of Plinko, not a basketball shot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Of course, we were talking before the show about how, of course, you know, the world would not have ended had it not gone in. It just goes to overtime. I mean, there was a nothing to lose. Right.
And that's the only thing you can hold against the shot. And because we're both lazy, not going to do research. Why would you? We're only doing a podcast. So I'm not sure if Jordan shot over Craig Elo in 89 in the conference semifinals was a tie game. And that's the one, you know, where he lands and he clutches and he swings his fist. But the way the frame is, Elo drops to the ground. So, I mean, it's just one of those memorable shots in NBA history.
That's a good one. But then Jordan's also his over Byron Russell in the Jazz, which was also sort of the to end his career, win the finals. Like that was the cherry on top until he unretired with the Wizards and undid all that beautiful shot.
It's the push off. He's wearing the I believe the black and red Jordan 12s. I mean, it's beautiful. He's got that left hand that he shoves. I mean, Harden does it. Anytime Harden's in a play where you're like, where they're showing it on ESPN and they're like, Harden crosses him over and you're like, oh! Like, if you look closely, every time Harden shoves the person and then immediately backs up, so creating an immediate 5 feet of space, looking incredibly badass, like, oh, you just got him. It's like, hey, well, he shoved him to the ground. He pushed him.
In fact, if I could compare Kawhi Leonard's shot to anything, it would probably be most comparable to the golf to Caddyshack and the final ball going in, that it's just on the edge, and then it drops and everything explodes. It was kind of like that.
And that then Tiger,
on the edge,
Tiger
on the
had
edge,
that too.
On the...
Tiger had that too. And I don't know if it was a Masters thing or I think it was. Was it the Masters? Anyway.
Why do research?
Dude, I know. But I'm just happy. This is really.
We're just happy to be back.
And I mean, Tiger.
A lot's happened, Cheese.
Tiger won
a
Masters.
Happened.
I mean, Tiger's back since we've been on, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And look, for you youngsters out there, I mean, it's hard to fathom that Tiger, for the last 22 years, I think, since he was been 16, has been in the media, and so it's kind of like a victory. Give one to the old guys. It makes us who've been watching Tiger Woods since I've been, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, 10, however long. But
he's the Tom Brady of golf.
It's a nice.
Doing it young, doing it old.
It's a nice B12 shot to your confidence as someone personally who's in their mid going into late 30s now. Late 30s. You know, I'm like, yeah.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You're saying a man older than
this.
You is still doing it.
You got to put
right.
in time.
Tom Brady.
Effort.
Tom Brady, 41. Going to be 42. Super Bowl champion. Tiger Woods. Masters champion.
Congratulations to on the Super Bowl championship that you got there.
I won another one, Cheese. I've won another one. I've done it. I remember some of you guys remember I was going into semi-retirement, being in New York. I was been alone, guys. It really brought out the sportsaholic in me, especially as we went in. You know, I did a full. I moved back here full time in June to New York, and that was. I went to Yankee Stadium for the very first time, Cheezer. I went to New York Yankee Stadium for the very first time.
Red Sox game, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we lost horribly, but I'll tell you, I had no fear. One of the greatest things about going to New Yankee Stadium is it is not old Yankee Stadium.
Why did they move? And was it condos? Did they get $1 billion for the lot?
It is so foolish, and it is so – I don't know what the original was like, but I know that knocking down and replacing the house that Ruth built is the dumbest thing that anyone has ever done in a franchise.
And I'm going to take this moment real quick, too, to shout out to my buddy Brent Benson, who's a firefighter. Alaska does national forest fire type bullshit. But he went out of his way to go to the Royals-Yankees series in the house that Root built. He wanted to see it before they tore it down. And that's why, as a Sportsaholics fan, you do Sportsaholics-type stuff like that. You'll get mentioned on the show. If you've ever done a Sportsaholics-type thing like that, message us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Sportsaholics, because I think that's worth mentioning. Go out of your way.
We're back.
To view the state. It's kind of like whenever I went to Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha. I was doing shows that weekend. And I wasn't even open, but I just wanted to see it, just, you know, experience a little bit of that baseball history. Come to find out they leveled the entire thing the very next week. So I guess point being, when you have an opportunity, go do it. Because you know what? Tom Petty might die next week. You know what I mean? Might be gone forever.
Do you think something's going to happen to Tom Petty?
I'm just saying the good ones will go away eventually. So go see him now. Go see Brian Wilson if he's down playing in Santa Monica. On the beach, you know, take those opportunities. I brought that up.
Yeah, because you never know. By the way, it's like if you live in San Diego, you can't go see the Chargers in San Diego because they're Cheezer. Here's something that was crazy. It's living in New York now and seeing the Chargers have a draft party on the Santa Monica Pier. I'm like, I know that. I'm like, I'm watching on TV in Florida with my father, but I'm watching the draft in Nashville, and I'm watching the Chargers fans celebrate on Santa Monica Pier. One of the stranger things I've ever seen in my life.
And you're watching nobody else even notice that's happening. The only people that noticed that were people visiting Los Angeles that weekend, because that's a very heavy tourist destination. So
right.
What it did was it gave about 50,000 tourists the impression that people in L.A. give a crap about the Chargers, because everyone will still say San Diego Chargers. You heard it
right
on every broadcast last year, at least 4 or 5 times. Dan Fouts.
Patriots had to play Los Angeles twice, once in the Super Bowl and once in the playoffs, the Chargers and the Rams. Yet I still feel that neither team, I know they both play in Los Angeles, but they're still not
the Rams.
LA teams.
The Rams are. I mean, It
they
was
are
weird.
Now, but
I mean,
they had to get to the Super Bowl to be a team.
Kinda. I mean, they were on their way. I mean, they had a lot of fan support this year. They really did. I mean, they really tried. I don't know. It's like I felt like they just put all the billboards up in the very right spots. Like you just couldn't.
I got what you're saying.
You couldn't look. You couldn't go more than 10 minutes without seeing something Rams. I did see a lot of Rams plates, jerseys. You know,
they have a very young, photogenic coach.
Dude, I mean, I probably saw 4 or 5 Roman Gabriel jerseys, which, you know, is like a Rams quarterback from the 70s right. or something.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, I think
sure.
from North Carolina State or something like. But
classic.
Just saying, you know, Eric Dickerson, really, I love the strong move there. Like just getting rid of Fisher, just going public. Like this guy is awful, man. Nobody respects this guy. I mean, you don't see that a lot where like the figurehead. The unofficial figurehead.
Well, I feel it's one of those. Look at what happens with Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks destroys franchises. The Rams, you could say it really hurt the Browns. I mean, you know, it hurts these teams. And then, you know, it's like.
It does. It's not always in the best interest of you.
It's never
in. To have more cameras on you, because not everyone's got that winning personality. Not that Sean McVay is some, like, guy you want taking pictures with babies, but he's got just enough of the whatever it is, you know, that you're like, I could play for that guy. Whereas some of the coaches come out and they just seems like, do they always say the wrong thing, you know, or do they not realize?
I gotta tell you, that's Sean McVay. I don't know if you've seen the NFL film yet of Super Bowl 53, the Patriots Rams. I think young Sean McVay is going to live to regret the fact that he was like, I'm just excited. I can't wait to see what the game plan they have is. It's like, I think he comes off a little bit too in awe of Bill Belichick and the Patriots system.
Well,
he's like a little bit, he's still a little bit too excited to see what they're going to come out with, and then ends up not being able to make the adjustments. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the master is still the master and the student is still the student.
That's absolutely what that was. And I mean, there were stories coming out that they were corresponding, like leading up to the Super Bowl. You know, you're like, what? You're like, that just seems like Bill Belichick's already won the game then. Like, hey, Bill, I want to bother you. So what do you think in this, like, so you, I'm like, you get to play him before they even get out on the field? Like, you've already won that game, you know?
It was that moment where you realize that Bill Belichick has been a coach in the NFL longer than Sean McVay had been alive, that you were just like, how can a coach as successful as Bill Belichick be beaten by someone who's literally younger than the amount of years he spent in the NFL?
Yeah, and you got, I mean, factoring in, like, McVay grows up in the NFL. So you've got to factor in, like, oh, do you remember that time at the coaches meeting in Palm Beach and my dad had to go, so you babysit, you lifeguarded for my brother and I so we could go swimming? Yes, I do remember. Right. I do remember that. You know, and just all the – or that one time, remember, when we stayed at your cottage up in the Hamptons?
Mm-hmm. Nantucket.
Nantucket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. But
which, you know, by the way, just remember, he renamed the boat. He had to rename the boat. The seven rings has become the eight rings. Hey, whenever Bill Belichick wins another ring, he gets to rename his boat.
And those are
he now has eight rings.
Is that two with the Giants, eight six rings. With you?
Well, he's two with the Giants, six with the Patriots.
Understudy,
that's right.
Belichick understudy in what was that, 90 and 80? Is it 88 and 90? I can't.
It's right. It's the Norwid. It's the Norwid, and it's the two Giants ones. Right.
Yeah.
It's the Hostetler and Sims.
It's something. I for some reason, Hardee's in the '80s gave out these Super Bowl pins. At the time, there had only been, I don't know, 25 Super Bowls or something like that. And so,
sure.
But growing up. You know, in America, next to a Hardee's, every time you got like the Super
Bowl. Carl's Jr. on the West Coast, she's Carl's Jr., West Coast.
Yes,
Hardee's.
Definitely. And you know, and if you're talking Hardee's 80s, you're talking California Raisins, little figurines they gave away. You're talking Days of Thunder. I mean, they were on top of all the big
Days
shit.
Days of Thunder.
But they gave away all these little Super Bowl pins to commemorate all the Super Bowls to collect. And that was like one of the first things I ever collected with these stupid little Super Bowl pins. But it was very limited because it was like always like everyone I got either had the Raiders or the Steelers on it. And I was like, are they in every Super Bowl? Like, from because that was
yes,
that was like
the answer was pretty much yes.
It's like 9 or 10 of the Super Bowls, the first 25 had those two teams in it. But,
yep,
but I don't even know where I was going with that. But anyway, that'll be one of many different ones. But yeah, but as far as Belichick goes. Yeah, he's the legend. There's never going to be another coach. I mean, you could argue Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, but to do it.
These are actually before it was. You know what? While we're going around the league, you mentioned Phil Jackson. How about that? You guys just had a Laker protest. Let's talk about the state of the Lakers. This is gone. They got LeBron. Didn't go to the playoffs. He was in the finals last year, game 7 with the Cavaliers, goes to the Lakers. Now Magic has left. They couldn't find, they have three guys. No one wanted to be the coach. There's a protest outside Staples Center with Laker fans that aren't happy with the LeBron Lakers.
First of all, what? Shout out to Clipper Daryl. Clipper Daryl, man, you are the best, and you represent Clipper Nation with pride. And that protest that you talked about, there was more media there than actual people protesting. I mean, there was never a hard number, but I heard anything from 60 to 100 people maybe were protesting. And then you have Clipper Daryl going down there and going, man, I have more people at my pool parties than are here right now. This is a Clippers town now. This ain't no Lakers town.
The Lakers fans want to do a protest, baby. Make sure y'all come out and show up, man. Dang. My pool party is bigger than this. The Lakers era is over.
forever, man. Come on.
I'm like, thank you, Daryl. You said it. I mean, because the Clippers, I mean, I'm a Clippers fan. I went to three games this year, but they're one, the tickets are affordable. So, yeah, I'll pay $12, $18 to go to a game. But two, they actually played defense. They played like a team. They had a bunch of really likable players that hustled all the time. So I'm loving this. The LeBron thing, I don't know. I mean, they never really embraced him. There was always, I don't know if it's a Kobe Bryant, like Kobe's my guy. But, they were defacing that LeBron mural from day one. So he hadn't really won over the entire Lakers fan base anyway, just by showing up. And then they're constantly.
It's a very strange. I mean, it's like I really feel the Lakers fan base got like in a Kobe cult. It's like Kobe kind of takes the Laker franchise in a way that it's like it's not it's like they're kind of Kobe blinded.
No. And no. People don't realize the extent of Kobe's reach here. And if you're talking Kobe 8 with 8 tentacles, you know, like the pre-rape number
let's
8.
Let's talk
Kobe,
about it.
Like, or you're talking the 24, you know, tentacle.
We're talking all the Kobes you want to talk about.
So the way it works is the Lakers general manager, Rob Pelinka, is Kobe's agent or was Kobe's agent.
Yes.
Rob Pelinka, you talk about Fab Five, right? You're talking Dwight Howard, you know, Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Jimmy King, Chris Jackson. Rob Pelinka, he's number 6, number 7 guy on that on Michigan, and so.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And the motherfucker, pardon my F-bombs, is a stand-in for Rob Lowe. So I'm like, good lord, like could God slam dunk a more like, I mean, gotta be smart if you're running, you know, Rob Lowe looking dude. He's like 48 or something. Looks like he's 25. General manager of the Lakers doing a horrible job. But where I was going with this is Kobe's in his ear constantly. And Jeannie Buss and Kobe Bryant love each other. You know, they're always talking about their close relationships and little vacations and the kind of weird I think it was kind of a weird behind the scenes power thing between even like Magic and Kobe. Like cuz Magic never really got. Not that it was direct, but Pelinka, when anything Pelinka comes up, I'm assuming Kobe's in the know with that. And
right.
They just, I don't think Magic never got the amount of power that he wanted. Like, no, this is what we need to do. And, I mean, in some ways it was nice. It was a good distraction away from LeBron, especially when LeBron got hurt. Then that's when a lot of the Magic stuff started coming up. And then. But him, the way he stepped away with this weird, like, people going behind my back, which apparently was some Rob Pelinka email that went out that was these really sarcastic, like, anyone seen Magic today in the office? Be like, ha, 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 Magic's never here doing anything, but yet everyone thinks he runs shit around here. You know, like, type tone emails, and so.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. This is scuttlebutt.
Yeah, so Magic didn't take kindly to all that behind-the-back talking. Meanwhile, Magic's, like, in the like Amalfi Coast in Italy, like apparently like 3 weeks out of the year, like right during the draft. Like he just Magic wasn't committed. Dude, he's doing the Dodgers thing. He's fucking defeating AIDS. I mean, how many things can you really do full time, you know? And so so now that Magic's gone, they just hired Vogel, the old
right.
Which I mean I dude they it had it, why did just give Tyronn Lue 5 years? Not to make this thing a big Lakers thing. I really don't like the Lakers, but I do love Tyronn Lue. He played for the Lakers from Mexico, Missouri, played at Raytown, played in Nebraska. I watched Tyronn Lue and Earl Watson play against each other in high school, the Piggly Wiggly shootout in Kansas City circa 97.
Now, who else is going to bring Piggly? No other sports chat show will bring up the Piggly Wiggly, unlike Sportsaholics right here.
If they're still, I hope that they are still.
That the grocery, Piggly Wiggly still
a local
exists?
Grocer somewhere in America.
Yeah, there's a Piggly Wiggly. But they're down in Florida.
Just, I mean, Eric, they're talking about trading. People are like, trade LeBron. People are saying
that is crazy, right?
People are saying
it's hurt. It's hurt both their brands. Both LeBron's like, does anyone want like? Why should there be a Space Jam 2 isn't it like the aliens already stole LeBron's powers? Isn't that what just happened?
Dude, he's the old guy now. He's the old guy. They're talking about him just taking a Le'Veon Bell just to rest up. They're like, just eat a year. Don't play. Eat a year. Like that's.
But he'll never. I don't think he'd come back from that. I just think it's also like, hey, I mean, he's now like, hey, Tom Brady, draft pick number 199. Is now the last man in his draft class standing as Janikowski has retired. You know, that's breaking news. Sebastian Janikowski has retired. Gone?
Oh man, that was my favorite Russian NFL player.
that's my favorite player who ever got away with having GHB because he was like, you know, that was like a recovery medicine. Like you basically zonk out your body, like you work your muscles so hard and then you date rape yourself apparently to knock yourself out. You roofie your own body to relax the muscles so they'll build up.
No, the sodomy like affects the thigh muscle. It helps my thigh and with flexing.
But Tom Brady, now the last man of the 2000 class. And LeBron, think about it. Carmelo Anthony didn't play. Dwayne Wade is stepping away. Darko Milicic, where have you gone, Darko Milicic? I mean, you know, it's like.
Oh, no, Darko's back in Serbia. He's got like a apple farm or something. They did a huge expose on him. I mean, I know that was a rhetorical question, but I'm just
no, I get
just filling
I get
in.
You, but filling in. You need to know that Milicic's apple. By the way, Milicic Darko's apple cider, tremendous. Check out Milicic's apple farm whenever you're in the Ukraine or
grapes,
Serbia.
But Milicic apples would be a great
Milicic apples.
That's a great ska band name too. Also, Milicic's apples.
We're doing ska band names. Yeah, basically. Basically, she's a ska band names.
But look, LeBron's old. No one wants to play with the grandpa guy that's going to want to command all the attention, you know, and then think he's the dictator, backtalk the coach.
Unless Kyrie goes, Kyrie could leave my Celtics. I mean, he seems like he's going to be a Knick. I mean, the Knicks have to do something, right? I mean, the Knicks have been a non-factor.
I mean,
too long.
Here's the thing: by most people, by the time this is published, they'll have had the little draft lottery thing, but
right.
Which happens here in a couple days. But the Knicks are winning that. Everyone just knows that's happening. Knicks are winning that. They're getting Zion. Do they get Kevin? I mean, okay, tell you what. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA, fill you guys in with what else has been going on, and then we'll try to land this thing. But I'm having a good time. Eric, how you feeling?
I'm just happy to be back. Happy to be here, Sheez.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
But hungover as hell, that Catholic boy always showed up to morning mass. We tell them, slow down, you'll end up like Belushi and Candy. Said those guys are my heroes, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't making that stuff up, that's the truth about my boy, Chris Farley. I saw him in the office crying with his headphones on, listening to a Casey and the Sunshine Band song. I said, buddy, how the hell is that making you so sad? Then he laughed and said, just thinking about my dad. The last big hang we had was at Timmy Meadows' wedding party. We laughed all night long, all because of Farley. But a few months later, the party came to an end. We flew out to Madison to bury our friend. Nothing was harder than saying goodbye, except watching Chris's father have his turn to cry. Hey, buddy, last moved on, but you still bring us so much joy. Make my kids laugh with your YouTube clips, oh, Tommy boy, yeah. And when they ask me who's the funniest guy I ever knew, I tell them hands down, without a doubt, it's you. Yeah, I miss hanging out about watching you try to get laid. But most of all, I miss watching you torture Spade. You're a legend like you wanted, but I still wish you were here
okay,
with
now,
me.
Okay, now, so first segment is now complete. We're rapid coming into our, you know, pseudo second segment. And Kyrie coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a bunch of bitching and moaning. Don't touch my Lakers, if you please. Mr. Yeah, Kyrie Mahan. They're not my Lakers. Anyway, go ahead.
That's the difference between first and last.
Kobe, how's my ass taste? I mean,
tell me how my ass tastes. Okay. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Okay, everybody. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. I'm a horse. Kobe ratted me out. That's why I'm getting divorced. He said Shaq gave a bitch a meal. I don't do that, cause my name's Shaquille. I love him, but don't leave him. I got a vasectomy, now I can't breed him. Kobe, how my ass tastes. Everybody, Kobe, how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Yeah, you can't do it without me.
I tried hard for Kyrie to really go back to LeBron, but it's a you know, and what's weird is, I mean, it's how much PR face that Jeannie Buss kind of lost, because everybody was actually looking at her. I mean, like two years ago, we were all thinking that, hey, you know, her brother Jimmy was running into the ground. People like, if there was a Jeannie Buss in Al Davis's family, the Raiders would belong to her instead of Mark Davis. You know what I mean? Because it's like he's sort of like the Jimmy Buss. And
I think
everyone
he's
thought
running,
you know,
like a development league in Austin. Or, anyway,
Jimmy is.
Yeah, something like that.
It's one of those things where he was definitely portrayed as the weaker sibling. And now, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm not 100% sure that Magic to me might be stepping away now. So in 3 to 5 years, when the Buss family inevitably has to sell, because it feels like they may have to sell. Like, this is a thing where they can't, it's like, look, I'm not going to tell you that L.A. isn't a Laker town, because it is. But when you say that Steve Ballmer has all this money and they have Doc Rivers and the Clippers are actually an organization, it's and the Lakers are running this old time family business that kind of looks like they're the Rooney family running the Steelers out of their old auto dealership in the back room. You know what I mean? Has that old two family feeling, not being up to date on whatever the new stats, whatever the money ball. Whatever the best way to run an organization is, it's like the Lakers are still back in 1986.
You're just saying the Lakers need some sort of West Coast little Heinz relish, if you will, to the Rooney family injection into the franchise. Some new blood. And that's what
I'm saying they need to get on iPads, because they all have like Apple II computers with disk drives.
You know,
they have floppy drives. That's how they feel right now. It feels very dated.
You know, they're sending these groups. I get apparently 7 people. That's like Pelinka, but it's Kurt Rambis, Jeannie Buss, and for some reason, like Kurt Rambis's wife, who's Jeannie Buss's really good friend, is apparently in the running for some sort of position. I don't know, but it's. Meanwhile, Phil Jackson's just chilling in Playa del Rey, Playa Vista, just
right.
10 miles west of Staples Center. Just like, yeah, no, I'm good, man. Don't bother me.
See, I got to tell you, when you start confusing plot lines of an NBA franchise with, Housewives of Beverly Hills, and all of a sudden we know who Kurt Rambis's wife is, that never is a good sign. You know, it's like, I shouldn't know that Peyton Manning has a wife that has HGH injections.
Right.
I shouldn't know that. When you get to the wives... Right. Sometimes it gets out of control, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm hearing a little too much about Kurt Rambis's wife and the Lakers. I shouldn't have heard those. All those words shouldn't have flown together.
Yeah.
If the Lakers would be.
It's like
right.
It's like I should barely know that Archie Manning does horrible little sketches for Fox Sports that are even worse than if Peyton was trying to do it. Probably even worse than if Eli. Never funny, but it's like
Cooper Manning.
Cooper, what did I say? Oh, yeah, Cooper, not Archie. Archie, if Archie was doing it, it'd probably be a lot better. Assuming he is still alive. But No, basketball's winding down soon. I mean, I really would like to see anyone but Golden State win it. Portland, I'm kind of pulling for Portland, even though I hate Portland as a city. As you guys know, the bastard child from my act, the bastard child of Seattle and San Francisco.
I like this Portland team. I think that's a fun series. I think, there gets to be a new. I mean, you know, this is when the Warriors have reached that Patriot status. That like this is the New York Yankees, the New England Patriots, the Golden State Warriors are the gold standard, man. They are just, you know,
and,
if you
got Durant going down, it's a real nice way for them to say like, no, guys, remember, we're still that team from before. And I'm just so happy Houston didn't advance. I think Harden's one of the
most. I think
that
opens up a whole bunch of questions for Houston. Houston has a whole lot to answer for now that they couldn't get by them without Durant. Bad luck.
What's the guy from ESPN that got the show taken away because he got drunk and like walked around naked in a hotel in L.A.? The bald white
guy. Jay Mariotti?
No. Anyway. No, there was more. He brought up a good point, though, earlier this week to quote that guy, even though I can't remember his name. But the story, maybe you remember. He got drunk. Anyway. He was saying with Houston, don't change anything because you don't know. Like Durant might be gone. Like people are moving here and there. So the landscape.
That's a great point.
The landscape might not be as rugged as it was this season as far as your competition goes.
But the answer is Houston. The biggest thing that punches them right in the face is they couldn't have keep Ariza, and that might have been a difference maker. It's like you didn't actually get better. You got different. I mean, remember, they lost Ariza. They decided to add Carmelo Anthony, which didn't add anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Paul and Harden played better together, but you may have not have actually been as good of a team as you were last year.
And this is going to be a Sportsaholics first right here. I'm inventing this right now. We're calling this the Curse of San Diego. Houston Rockets originated in San Diego, playing two seasons before relocating to the swamps of Houston, Texas. So if you go back, Padres, no championships, 0-2 in the World Series. The Chargers, I do not believe. I know they lost in
94. One Super Bowl appearance loss.
Lost. You know, nothing going on there. We'll say, Clippers. They docked, if you will, in the harbors of San Diego for a couple of seasons.
Sure did.
Not very successful yet to win an NBA championship. Not maybe their IHL ice hockey.
And think about what happens when you leave. I mean, it's like Eli Manning says, "I won't play in San Diego." Wins two Super Bowls. Drew Brees leaves San Diego, wins a Super Bowl.
Sean Marion. Leaves San Diego, goes to Buffalo, wins two, or I'm sorry, gets accused and fails drug tests for steroids.
Lights out.
Shout out to Sean Marion.
Junior Seau's brain. No, I'm just sorry. I regret saying that. I'm sorry.
Luckily, I was talking loud enough at the same moment, so a lot of people probably didn't even hear that. But
all right,
that's what I'm saying. I'm bringing it here to the table, the San Diego Curse
of San Diego.
Yeah, that's what they get for being so
the
goddamn likable.
You know what it back goes? I bet you it goes back to that time they fired the San Diego chicken, and that, you know, it's the curse of the San Diego chicken. So you probably have to. We need the blood of the San Diego chicken to break this curse.
And again, to reach out to us on Instagram, social media at Sportsaholics, Twitter. I don't want to get like, oh, the San Diego Padres of the Pacific Coast League when Ted Williams was 19, they won the Pacific Coast League crown over the San Francisco Seals in 1930.
We don't want to hear that.
Nope, that doesn't count. I'm talking modern day. I don't want an arena football. Look, because that's what you get, San Diego, for being so goddamn likable. You don't think you get Comic-Con. You get Petco Park. You get the Gas Lamp District. You get Coronado Island. Point Loma, La Jolla, all that Mission Bay, all that awesomeness.
You get beautiful older women who do yoga and don't inject shit into their face. You have naturally aging women that are very lovely.
It's a proper application of sunscreen and skin treatment
while
at the beach, whose husbands may already be dead or are gone for months at a time doing whatever husbands.
That's right. A lot of lovely ladies of San Diego.
A lot of husbands
aging
that go to Topgolf, which is it me or is it?
Yeah.
It's like whenever you drive past the Topgolf.
You put French fries in a burrito. How great is that? You put French fries in a burrito. everything you could. What's more American than that?
Dude, and when you're on your way to go, you know, have intercourse with one of these hot women, why don't you stop off at Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street in downtown La Jolla, at Eat a Burrito on social media if you want to follow.
If you want to break the San Diego curse, you might want to go.
And you know who else has been seen snacking there himself? Kawhi Leonard with his Shaq-sized hands. He's dined at Eat a Burrito allegedly a few times because he has a $13.3 million ranch in like Rancho Bernardo, Santa Fe.
I did not know it. It's a great time to love Kawhi. I feel very happy for Kawhi and his magnificent last-second shot.
This city, it's like, so if you go north of San Diego about 10, 15 minutes, it's, so they essentially built a Beverly Hills, but they gave people the options of having like 20-acre lots if they want. So there's some people that have just full orchards or vineyards growing around their house, and yeah, it's pretty nice. And so I mean, it's also only about an hour and 15 minutes south of Staples Center, or where the new Clippers will be playing in Inglewood, starting here in, I believe, 3 years. They're getting a brand new stadium next door to the new Rams stadium.
Very exciting. Breaking news, because they should play in a different venue, because the Lakers need to be sold. What I think is going to happen. It's very interesting. Very interesting. What everything that's transpired in a year, she's, has been really fascinating.
What I think it boils down to is Ballmer.
I haven't even mentioned the Red Sox.
It's Bruce. It's Bruce Ballmer. He doesn't like the idea that he doesn't have a key to every door that he walks into. You know, meaning he doesn't own it. So he's like, "Can I just build my own?" Well, it's gonna be like $2.3 billion, Mr. Ballmer. Oh, that's it? Okay. I mean, I talked to my accountant. We'd budgeted 5.7.
Just run that on my Amex. Here's my diamond-encrusted Amex.
By the way, the guy next to me in every game, that is my son. And, he'll eventually run all my shit. So I'm going to keep him close to the chest here and to the vest. And then so you guys get to know him. And then, we're going to run this thing like a family thing. That's Jerry West. Yeah, he's built multiple he even made Memphis good for a while. So we're that's right, we got room for two max free agents, hopefully Kevin Durant, no way on a Kyrie Irving, I don't know, maybe Anthony Davis, we'll see, but there's plenty of money to go around, brand new facilities opening up soon. I'm just saying there's plenty of room on Clipper bandwagon listeners. So and then I'm done with the Clippers, so let's go, tell you what, let's take another break. Is we're going Red Sox after that. We'll be right back after this. Country, because that guy was such a dominating, just dominated the landscape. And they always, here's the thing, people always, it was pre-social media, like they say, like that meant like everything was in a cave, right? I kind of argued the opposite, because you had sporting news, you had Sports Illustrated, you had your local paper, and you had ESPN, maybe something on Fox, I don't know, but there was really maybe 10 places you went to get your thing. And like when you're the front and center on all of those, like that's almost even more dominant.
He was a movie star in Orlando before Orlando was what you think it is now. I mean, Orlando isn't Hollywood. Like, he was a star. Like, he did Kazam and Steel as a magic. Like, this wasn't him going to, everyone's talking about, hey, LeBron's going to Hollywood. It's like Hollywood came to Shaq is what I just said off air was Shaq is my favorite Laker. And that's, as a Celtics fan, it's not easy for me to like any. Like, I will literally say Magic Johnson, by the,
but not, he's not
is
your
the greatest.
He's not your favorite Celtic, even though he did play. He
He's not my favorite. He's not my favorite Celtic. But I was so glad. I was so happy that Shaq was a Celtic. But that's also one of those things where Shaq was the most likable Laker. Like, I hate the Lakers. I like Shaq. I even liked him. I mean, I loved watching Shaq even as a Laker. I mean, there was that crazy thing where Shaq is huge. But I mean, it's like he had amazing handles for a man that big. Like, he almost was like a point guard who was just gigantic sized. I mean, it's really crazy what Shaq was. And there's a weird thing where, you know, it's like, if you like Shaq, I tend to like you. If you like Kobe, I probably won't. Like, I feel like, and people want to be like, yeah, because Kobe's an asshole and he's sinister. He's the Black Mamba. Well, the Black Mamba is a girl's nickname from Kill Bill, which is like, it's weak on several levels. One is which, hey, you took a girl's nickname. You also self-nicknamed yourself, which is also a huge fucking no-no. That's you can't self-nickname.
Yeah. No, that does not
right? You can't self-nickname. And like, look at how Playoff Paul did. You know, look at Playoff, Playoff P over there from the Thunder last year. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
once you leave a bad taste in people's, like, people just, that's, they're never, like, look, every time I see Scottie Pippen, no tipping Pippen. That guy doesn't tip people. That's just what I think forever, you know?
And we also all know now that when Kobe got in trouble for his sexual misconduct in Colorado that he was acquitted of, it's that, you know, the story came out that Shaq played with him a whole year, and he and knew that Kobe had, like, ratted Shaq out immediately when he got pulled. Hey, Shaq does this shit all the time. It's like, hey, what? Why is my name in your mouth?
Well, like, you know,
it's like people who chose Kobe over Shaq, that's not the right. That's not the way to move. Kobe was the death. It's like, and I know people like, hey, you know what? I'll tell you something else. Kobe never wins without Paul Gasol. Paul Gasol is that secret sauce that. It was the perfect. He was the perfect Kobe companion because he didn't seek headlines. He was a European, doesn't speak English as a second language player. Paul Gasol, man, he was never seeking headlines. But
he was a young sprung chicken, Paul Gasol. You know, like one of the most, you know, sought after.
The Gasol brothers could be playing against each other, but he's hurt. Like, this is a very interesting Bucks. Raptors, the Gasol brothers, but unfortunately, you know, the Gasol brothers have been a silent, the Gasol brothers are better brothers than the Klitschko brothers, because the Klitschko brothers won't play each other, won't fight each other, and that was like the end of the heavyweight division, the Klitschko brothers. The Gasol brothers are very quietly great brothers, just great basketball brothers, really good.
I mean,
you know,
nothing
it's like,
against, you know, Horace. I mean, I guess that wasn't even his. Was that his brother or his cousin?
Harvey Grant, Horace Grant, Hope Grant, and Harvey Grant?
Yeah,
sure.
I guess they were brothers.
They had a whole bunch of kids we liked, too. You know what I'm saying? There was Syracuse and the Notre Dame. And I love all the great. And look, that goes back to the Magic. Horace Grant made the right move post, you know, Jordan retirement. It was like he went to go play with Shaq. That was going to be like Little Penny. You know, Big Shaq and Ho Grant, that was going to be the new three. That was going to be the new troika. That was the new big three. And remember that, you know, they dispatched number 45, Michael Jordan.
And look, they got close. I mean, you had that Nick Anderson free throw meltdown. You know, just look, they got to the finals. They just got their asses handed to them by Houston. Look, I also, on Kobe's thing, Kobe is more likable somehow. Now, post-retirement.
No.
Look, but that's how, like, hateable he is.
Oh, post-retirement?
Yeah, post-retirement. Like, he's getting more likable. I don't know if it's just the way he's just not in the media a lot or whatever. But I don't just, like, I
think he has a very, I think like him, Kobe has a very curated presence with that. You know, he has that ESPN, like, in focus, in detail thing. You know, he had that comeback movie Muse or whatever the hell it was.
I just think, okay, whenever they put out, like, the barbershop thing, LeBron, or anything, like, these things, the Kobe, like, you got to realize, like, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to, it's not that they don't want to, it's just, you look pompous and arrogant, and it looks completely staged, no matter how many, how natural you want it to feel. It's like, it doesn't come across that way. And I think a lot of people want to be like, oh, you know, we'll just be sitting around on the couches and, you know, it will be comfortable. It'll be like an inside thing. It's like, part of me is like, why do you think we care what you think about this stuff? You know, like a lot of times.
But think about how much you love Shaq and Barkley. Barkley, Barkley's having a great, like, talking about things that we've missed in the last year. Barkley's having a hell of a year.
Yep.
Just with all the Auburn stuff and the Final Four. I mean, that was just, he's been very likable, just knocking out of the park. Barkley killing it.
Yeah, and he just called out, not Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid. And
yep.
And said, Embiid, you know, he's easy to find, Joel, if you need to find him. But which came, which brought up earlier before we were talking, before we started recording, we talked about the Charles Barkley throwing the guy through the window thing. I totally, originally going in, I brought this up with Eric before we started recording, and I was thinking early 90s, way off. It was in Houston. Clyde Drexler, right. He was playing with Houston. It actually happened.
You thought he was with the Sixers. I thought it happened in Arizona. So it was, and then, but it actually was when he was playing for Houston.
Yep. Clyde Drexler was there. And what we, just from this, he picked, okay. So there's a guy being detained by the, I'm assuming, Orlando police at a restaurant. He was bothering Charles Barkley. And so he's in the custody of, and I'm trying to find these quotes here. He's in the custody of the police officer. Charles walks over, grabs the guy out of the police officer's possession, picks him up, and throws him through a window. And so here, I got the quotes here. What police and witnesses said happened. Barkley said, "What he did was inappropriate. I am going to defend myself. Let there be no debate. If you bother me, I'm going to whip your ass." The guy, I'm going to go into the Barkley, try to do the Southern thing a little bit. The guy threw ice in my face, and I slammed his ass into the window. I'm not denying that. I defended myself. He got what he deserved. I'm going to defend myself and whoever I'm with at all times. I made that clear in my years in the NBA. I will never back down from the public. I will never back down. They are going to respect me, or I'm going to defend myself. Jorge Lugo,
ladies and gentlemen, the future governor, the once the future governor of Alabama, Charles Barkley. Barkley's gonna, I mean, and also that's last century Barkley. The round mound is rebound, his roundness. I mean, he is round and profound.
And this is where having real friends comes in handy, because we know what happened. Charles got detained. Guess who was right there with the cool $6,000 to bail him out? Clyde the Glide.
Guess who glided that day?
Yep, that's right. At 7:15 in the morning. That Sunday morning. He said, you know what, since we're out, let's get some donuts and go hit up the Baptist
Church.
Wait,
that happened at brunch?
That was 7 a.m. He bailed him out at 7 a.m.
All right. I was going to say, I was just like, I'm saying, you're throwing people through a plate glass window like in the morning? That's tough.
And so, and then, of course, Jorge Lugo, 20, a construction laborer, was released from the Orlando Regional Medical Center.
He was 20?
Yeah, the guy was 20. So this happened in 97, so that guy's now 42. Wow. And so from what I can gather, he says construction worker. And I'm just saying, since he was picked up by Charles and thrown through a window, I'm guessing he's one of those tall, or one of those like real small roofers, I'm guessing. the size. I mean, because how else? I mean, I know Chuck's big. He's not that big. He's only like 6'5", really. But I mean, he is 260 or whatever. But height-wise, but I mean, to pick up a human, throw him through a window, I'm like the smaller roofer guy is definitely, or the guy that picks up
whatever.
Shit.
I don't put it in, like, remember, this is also a man that got like in an altercation during the Olympics and called it like a hood thing. I mean, you know, I mean, Barkley's awesome. Barkley's awesome. He gets a little, he's very intense from what I understand. I would not put it past, let's admit that Barkley in himself, his entire athletic career, is that he has tapped into some inner Hulk strength that he is bigger than his own size. He is a bit of a real-life superhero. He plays, he may be like 6'4", but plays of a man of like 6'8". I mean, there's a guy, he's a very small power forward.
I guess this is the way.
You're talking about they kind of changed the rules. He backed down so many people, they kind of had to change some of the rules during his
Yeah, you hear about, you know, his ass being bigger than a bull's or something. He would just, and the other thing that kind of has been popping out a lot recently, his name comes up with in Zion Williamson comparisons very often. And so to go back and look at his Auburn footage, and you think about this guy's 6'4 and dunking on people like that, and it's very Zion-esque, like the way that he just like flies through the air, and he just happened to add 100 pounds onto his frame. So, but I guess what I'm saying is that's what we can expect from Zion maybe in 16 years, like a mini Karl Malone that delivers.
You know, dude, I gotta be honest with you. I'm very, you know, it's like there's a weird thing where I'm just gonna say I think there's an ominous sign. I worry about Zion because he's such a sure thing that him blowing that shoe out, I worry about him having some freak Sean Livingston accident. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't get, you know, if you, God forbid, he gets ended up on the Clippers or somebody with a, you know, just something happens where guys just, you know, Mo Vaughn, Howard, Gordon Howard, Hayward, they just like they broke their ankles like the very first game. It's like, you know, what, Greg Oden had the microfracture surgery because his one leg was an inch shorter than the other one. There's something that he's so, how long have we waited for Joel Embiid in the process? It's like there's a point where can we admit now that maybe Ben Simmons isn't really panning out as a star?
Yeah, you know, have to be able to shoot. I don't understand, like, where, like, how can, like, you be so hyped and not be able to shoot a basketball? Like, what have you been doing? You're 24.
I don't understand how the can't miss one and done is now the guy that can't shoot.
I mean, what's his name? You're saying, the
but
guy
somehow
from
these,
Washington?
Somehow these scouting reports. Go ahead.
Say, how do you go number one in the draft? You can't shoot a jump shot. Like, how do you? Like, who's
a very strange thing.
Who's running your scouting department? Like, how big of an upside do you? Because, like,
and what do these words really mean? And what does the scouting really mean? Who's really ready? Like, what does it mean? You know, that's one of the greatest things. If you ever read Michael Hawley's The War Room about the Bill Belichick era, it's talking about when he started with the Cleveland Browns. He's like, he wanted to get the college scouts and the pro scouts talking the same language, because it's not about who's going to be a third round center or defensive lineman who's a fifth rounder. It's like, because sometimes you can get into the Mel Kiper Jr. It's self-fulfilling about this guy is a seventh round talent or a third round talent. It's like, no, can this guy contribute to our 53-man roster? And there's a weird point where it's like the process has not worked out. And there's a weird feeling where, I mean, like, let's be more honest. If it wasn't for Jimmy Butler having forced a trade, it's like the Sixers are nowhere this year. Butler was everything in that. And Embiid is sort of like, not a bust, but a letdown as someone who, it's like, you know, it's like someone who's calling them a contender or they're contenders. It's like, doesn't a contender have to at least appear in the conference finals? Do you know what I'm saying? The Chiefs are a contender. Yeah. You guys went to the AFC. You know what I'm saying? That's a contender.
I think if he doesn't miss the 18 or 27 games, then maybe that game's in Philadelphia instead of, you know, or wait, no, did they? I guess they did have home field.
But
advantage.
I'm saying, but isn't it? But we, but in the Never end, mind. the game always really ends up with what is, not as what's projected. Do you know what I mean? Sure, A-Rod did do well. You know, he was a, you know, I mean, like, he was a 5-tool player from the, you know, from jumps. Like, he makes, you know, he makes the pros as an 18, 19 year old. But there's also, it's like, you have to, there's something about playing the games.
I think it's just his game. And I know it's the new NBA, but when I see him taking threes, I'm like, that's great. But, like, let's just say maybe if you stayed down there and picked up 5 extra rebounds a game, maybe that would translate to, I don't know, 8 points instead of just 3, you know, since you went 1-for-4 from 3-point range, you know. And he's just, I don't know, he's a dominant player, injured too often. He's still relatively young. If he can stay healthy, we'll see. I don't see.
It's true.
And
but it's really about maybe the Greek Freak and Kawhi Leonard really bypassed them the entire time. And they're really playing the 4 seed behind the not ready for prime time Celtics that have too much, you know, the Celtics have to figure out what they're doing.
Yes, they do. They have a great coach. This, and look, like, why we're talking like all this stuff, this is why this is the one thing the NBA has over the other leagues, is the free agency thing. Because in football, yeah, it's important, and so-and-so signed here, Le'Veon Bell's New York and all this stuff. But that's doesn't...
Well, it's also how much can one guy do? I mean, like, Jimmy Butler to the Celtics makes a difference.
Excuse me.
I mean, I'm looking as a Celtics fan, do you know how much I wish we traded Kyrie Irving to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis?
No, it's... And
why wouldn't I want that?
And so going into this, and if you're listening to this, like, you know, in the future, and so you know how the summer shakes out, but you've got Kawhi, possibly Anthony Davis, your Anthony Davis, maybe Kyrie, Durant, you know, these big key impact players that are all on the move or could be on the move. And so that kind of reshuffles everything. And so, I mean, it's crazy to think, and I hope it. I miss the Knicks being at all relevant. It's crazy. They already screwed up the Porzingis thing. That thing seemed like a lock, and that thing again through injury, that's a big problem. Got to stay healthy. But I'm like,
but also that? just bloodied in Latvia in a.
I saw it, that.
Just yep.
Apparently, a Knicks fan was pissed. He got traded and threw a bottle at. That's the story.
Latvian Knicks fans.
That's the story that his camp probably released. It's like,
How crazy is this? Think about this. Where we are now, like, if the Knicks had held on to Porzingis, they probably could have traded him for LeBron. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, don't you think if you were the Lakers, wouldn't you have traded LeBron for Porzingis right now?
No,
it's a weird thing to say.
If
you traded LeBron, what is he worth? What is he worth?
I mean, a lot of headlines. I mean, there is value in that. I mean, it, good or bad, there's, you know, that drives eyes to the franchise. And when they
does LeBron need to go to the Knicks to find? It's like, you know, you figured him going. You know, our friend Willie Hunter called him going to the Lakers years ago, but it looked like that was just a way to, like, you know, add more, like, burnish your laurels, you know what I'm saying? Shine up some trophies. But this is a weird thing where it's a marriage made in hell.
I mean,
this is not a good matchup. It's like they do not want to play with each other. They don't like each other. Pelinka is Kobe's guy or something.
But here's the other thing, though. It's like, it is LeBron. He did get injured for the first time. He's slowing down. But there is a slight playing possum effect here in that Lonzo Ball was hurt almost the entire season, shut down. They do, like, I think he's not, I don't think he's as good as De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento, but he's an impact player. Like, having him healthy, having a healthy LeBron, and now if they get a second free agent, whether it's a Kyrie or something like that, I mean, that's not a bad start.
No. Kyrie going there in a way saves it, but Kyrie then has to dip, and it's like saying he's not a franchise guy on his own, and which maybe he isn't.
Because he's not a free agent, right? So they would probably trade Lonzo in that deal.
It's like Lonzo might be like a Ben Simmons, where it's like everybody likes the idea of him a little bit more than the reality of him. And we also might be saying that because he's always hurt, it's, again, you're sort of assuming development that isn't actually in evidence.
He is kind of just a mini Ben Simmons, actually. He has a horrible shot.
Thank you.
Yes, you got it. Okay, we'll wrap this up. And guys, thank you so much for coming back with us. And again, social media at Sportsaholics. Eric's gonna get his act together and get going and contributing and posting, because I just want to see pictures from New York on our Instagram feed. And
that's right. I live in New York now.
And start answering questions. So if you guys want to, I'd say Instagram is probably the easiest way to do that, at Sportsaholics. You can find us there. But thank you, guys. And we're going to just start kicking these out. I wanted to say real quick, again, I will be on the road coming up here next month. If you're at the Blue Room in Springfield, that is May 31st. Let me check the calendar, make sure. Yeah, it's Friday, May 31st, Saturday, June 1st.
The Blue Room!
Saturday, June 1st. And in Kansas City, also, the brand new comedy club called The Comedy Club, KansasKC.com. I will be there Sunday, June 2nd with Lucas Hurl. I'm bringing him with me.
Nice.
He's going to be doing a 40-minute set, so I'm excited to see that. And I know he's excited to do a 40-minute set. So
we're all excited.
But Eric, anything out the door? Hey,
when you guys are in New York City, don't be afraid to come see me, Eric Moreno, at O'Keefe's in Brooklyn, 62 Court Street, every Sunday night at 7. And we have an open mic. The Punching Bag open mic starts at 8.
Yep, and then I will also, later that June, be back in Arizona, Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, with Davey Wester and myself doing about it's like 10 or 12 shows over the course of a couple weeks. I'm going to do a flow trip right in the middle of that to break it up.
Flow trip.
Which will be nice, relaxing, Ozark River style. But I wanted to close on, Brody, if that's cool.
Let's do
Eric.
It.
Eric and I and a lot of people in the comedy community lost a very good friend, Brody Stevens, Stephen Brody Stevens, hashtag 818 till I die, hashtag positive energy, hashtag enjoy it,
kettlebells,
hashtag positive push,
push and believe.
Passed away February 22nd.
Yep.
And it's crazy to think that it's coming up on a couple months already.
Yep.
But for those, I don't even know like the purpose in even doing this other than just to honor a friend and I guess hope.
He's a great dude. He's a great spirit. Hopefully now he is beyond any pain and positive energy and just bringing more positive energy. He's beloved by lots of people, thought well of. It's amazing how many people know him and he knew them. He's just an amazing force in all of our lives. It's hard. I was thinking just last night that I still can't believe that he's really not around. And he is greatly missed by all of us who loved him. And I think we all take a little bit of a Brody with us, everyone who knows him, and we miss you, bro.
And I think that's, that's part of it too. Cause like, if you don't know Brody, he loved sports, he loved baseball and he pitched at Arizona State. And since he passed,
Joe Madden of the Cubs was supposed to go to the week after he passed, he was scheduled to be out at the Chicago Cubs camp. It's the Chicago Cubs. Their manager, Joe Madden, spoke. They made T-shirts to commemorate him. It's just he's a guy that, as someone said at one of his memorials, it's like I got introduced to Clayton Kershaw and Dick Van Dyke. Like, look at the range that Brody, the people that knew Brody and Brody knew, the people he brought together. He's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest comics. One of the greatest spirits. A warm-up guy that making connections. Knowing where you, knowing your high school mascot, so many beloved things that he just brings a smile to all of our faces and he'll always make me laugh. He will always, even though he's gone, he will always make me laugh.
And maybe I'll try to go and pull the footage, but if you go, on YouTube, they live stream the memorial and I've never seen someone, I mean, he was comedy royalty and he was memorialized in that way. I mean, it
was a very fitting tribute.
It was, I think his name was on the marquee at the Comedy Store for a week, if not two, multiple gatherings. There's a great final episode of Brody Stevens, was it Positive Push or
Festival of Friendship.
A great final episode that I was honored just to, have a few minutes to say, my piece with, a few things about the guy. That you can find on All Things Comedy. That's a couple hours. They did that, which was great. And that was almost immediately within a day or two. So it was a good gathering just for people to just kind of, get a lot of things, a lot of hugs, get things off, get stories out. Just make sure everyone was just like in shock. And so that's a good episode. And then, at the Comedy Store, they did an incredible job and it was live streamed. It opens up with Zach Galifianakis and you can find it on YouTube. Yep. If you type in Brody Stevens Memorial,
there's some amazing things to see and it's worth it. Zach Galifianakis, Jeffrey Ross.
Rick Ingram's on there. Yep. Some of his best friends. The Barris
Brody Overdrive performs. There's some really interesting, fun things that everybody should check out from his
Seattle paper.
Seattle days, absolutely.
Was there. And that absolutely. Was really, and so you learned a lot about, so Brody, because of all these stories that are coming out and stuff. So Brody apparently was like the giant eighth grader who, you know, the guy.
The pictures are crazy.
You know, the eighth grader who's like 6'1", 6'2"? Like, that was Brody. Yeah. So he was pitching varsity baseball, I guess, at a very young age, which is probably why he blew his arm out in college. But there's a great video up of him reenacting like the City League championship. He's like young Brody on the mound facing the nasty Rob Dibble. And then it's like it's animated, and then they're like, then what happened? Then I walked him. And they're like, then what happened? Then I gave up a home run. Then what happened? Then Rob Dibble went on to have a fairly successful career in Major League Baseball. Then what happened? He's like, I hurt my arm. Kind of got into comedy, moved to Seattle.
It's great.
I fucking miss that guy. But I wanted to, I'm going to pull the audio. I got to perform with Brody in Kansas City last summer, and it was in the comedy world, you know people for decades before you ever see them in daylight for the first time.
It's true.
And you know, these are hours from 9-10 o'clock. I mean, maybe in the summer it's getting dark within 30 minutes though once you get there. Let alone, you know, hang out with someone you've known for a long time in your hometown. And so
Right. The
show was a lot of fun. I dug back into some old clips, and Brody did, I think maybe 70 minutes, something like that. And so I ended up having about 15 minutes worth of clips from the show. I primarily just recorded any time he was talking about sports. So I'm going to play that at the end. The audio's not bad. He just talks about the comparisons between the Royals and the Dodgers and the history and going to the Negro Leagues Museum and just doing Kansas City stuff. But it was great to just have that experience with him, you know, unfortunately so soon, you know, before he passed away. But missed by a lot.
Eddie Bauer. I'm friends with Eddie. Who hangs out with the Cubs? Eddie Vedder. Me. Bill Murray when he wants. And that's it. You think John Cusack is allowed to hang out with the Cubs? No! Stay in the seats, come down when the team gets popular, and keep putting out your negative energy. That's what he does. He's not allowed. Cubs, they text me. Where are you? Coming down today? What's going on? But this show meant more. Kauffman Stadium has been there since 1973. It's one of the oldest stadiums. You look at it, you don't think it would be, but it is. Because they put pride into it, architecture, structure.
Passion.
Like a drink, passion.
It's not disco baseball.
What's that?
It's not disco baseball.
Here we go again. Okay, guys, bless. I don't know, you're making those faces. You don't think there's, what do you think, there's Proud Boys everywhere? They don't get the references? Let me ask a question. I like this area here. I like everybody. Even you. Some inside knowledge based off old school positivity. Dr. Steve. space love?
Shove it.
Don't you see? The colors, the script of the Royals, it's based off the Dodgers. I'm giving you inside old school blue collar. You can do whatever you want if you show up on time and you put out positive energy. The Frank Sinatra days, the Sammy Davis days, the early George Brett days before you had hemorrhoids. Before those days. Why do you think
that the Royals, their organization, their team, their everything about their team is based off the Dodgers? Don't get mad at me! I'm saying that's a good thing! I'm from Los Angeles. Oh, look, God.
Interleague? That's urban.
Youth.
Youth, thank you.
Okay, so this is actually a 15-minute video. This is from Brody Set in Kansas City. You can go to our Facebook page. The entire video is up there, so if you want to check that out. But, guys, thanks for listening. Happy to be back. And, yeah, we'll be back next week.
The 6-inch sausage.
And I get dough?
Hello.
You'll get your share of everything that's coming.
I want you to put this mask on when you get inside the building, do you understand?
Like James Watt.
Go on, hurry!
Bitch. When the sky turns black, that's when he's back on the road for sure. Let's get to popping them locks and opening doors.